Let's talk about listening now. As a yoga teacher, being a counselor or a psychologist is outside of your scope of practice, you know, unless you're otherwise trained in these areas. But you can develop your listening skills so you can be really present with your students and let go of the need to rush in to fix, change, or solve their problems. Carl Rogers, an American psychologist known for his client-centered approach, said, "When the other person is hurting, confused, troubled, anxious, alienated, terrified, or when he or she is doubtful of self-worth, uncertain as to identity, then understanding is called for. The gentle and sensitive companionship of an empathic stance provides illumination and healing. In such situations, deep understanding is, I believe, the most precious gift one can give to another." Okay, I want to show you a funny video now about listening. I first watched this during the IRIS Level 1 training, and I love it so much. It's created by a comedian called Jason Headley.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless, and I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like... There's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Come on, ow. If you would just-
Don't! Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? We can work it out.
We can work it out. Oh my goodness, I love that so much. Yes, it's silly, but it gets across an important point about the need we have to be seen and heard without someone having to fix things for us. All right, let's look at effective listening now. By listening effectively, we communicate acceptance. We convey the message that what they're saying is important. We let the person know that we want to relate to them and get to know them better. We build trust. We encourage people to talk. We keep our own judgments out of the communication process. And we allow people to talk about what is really going on for them. Sometimes this takes a while. Listening seems like a simple thing to do, but we often do it poorly. Some obstructions to effective listening include wanting to solve, rescue, give advice. You know, this is what we talked about earlier about being a helper rather than a rescuer, and it can be a tricky habit to get out of sometimes. Planning answers while the speaker is still talking. Now, we've all done this before, haven't we? But it really gets in the way of being really present with your students. I wonder instead if you could trust that you know will know the perfect response in each moment when they finish speaking and allow yourself to be fully present when they're talking without planning your response. Fear of not knowing what to say and thinking that you should have all the answers. Again, this comes back to scope of practice and to trust. You don't have to have all the answers, and you can trust that you'll be able to respond appropriately in the moment, even if you don't have the answer to their question. It's important that the student feels heard. It's more important that the student feels heard than it is for you to have all the answers, which, you know, is impossible anyway. Daydreaming. Have you ever been thinking about what's for dinner when someone's talking to you? Parroting. So this can happen when we've learned some listening skills and we hear that it's important to repeat back what people have said to us and we just end up parroting back exactly what they've said, which is not really that helpful. Feeling bored, feeling or acting superior or inferior, dislike of the speaker, preempting what the speaker is saying, just let them finish. You don't have to finish their sentences for them, no matter how tempting it might be. And only partially listening. I like this cartoon by Luna Boone. The person on the left is speaking and the person on the right is thinking. I'm going to read it just in case you can't see it on your screen. So the person on the left says, I've been feeling so down lately. And the person on the right says, is thinking, say something comforting. Nothing matters to me. Give her advice. I'm so anxious and depressed. Tell her it's going to be okay. I just want to be happy again. Oh, try to fix it. Oh, thanks anyway for being here. Say something. It's nice to be with someone that just listens. And then he thinks, nailed it. While he does do one of the obstructions to listening, he's trying to work out what to say while she's speaking, he nails it anyway, and she feels really heard and seen. So here are some simple ways to demonstrate listening and understanding and encourage people to talk. Silence. Just don't say anything. Just listen. Body language, including nodding, having an open posture, and making eye contact. Short non-committal responses such as, I see, ah, hmm, oh, wow, really? Hmm, oh, is that so? Or more explicit ways such as, tell me about it, or I'd love to hear more about it, or would you like to talk more about it? Or go and tell me the whole story, or go ahead, I'm listening. You're getting the picture, right? So paraphrasing is another way to demonstrate listening and understanding. Paraphrasing is a brief restatement of what the speaker has said in your own words. When paraphrasing, think about what the message is, what they're trying to get across, as opposed to the actual words that they used. The aim is to get to the core of the message of what the speaker has said. To begin paraphrasing, you could try using statements like, I'm hearing that, or it sounds like, or so what I hear you're saying is, or you are, you know, etc., etc. Paraphrasing is not parroting, simply repeating what the speaker has said can feel like it can feel patronizing after a while. It's not a lengthy commentary, it's not adding any additional information, and it's definitely not analyzing or commenting on the information. Present the paraphrase in a tentative way to invite correction if needed. So, for example, you might say, it sounds like you're having a difficult time with your friend at the moment. All right, let's talk about empathizing now. Empathizing means attending, observing, and listening, a kind of being with an individual to deeply understand their world. As Brené Brown says, empathizing means feeling with people. Empathy allows your student to really know that you heard and understood them, and it's important for attunement and connection. Carl Rogers said, it means entering the private perceptual world of the other and becoming thoroughly at home in it. It involves being sensitive moment by moment to the changing felt meanings which flow in this other person, to the fear or rage or tenderness or confusion or whatever that he or she is experiencing. It means temporarily living in the other's life, moving about it delicately without making judgments. Therapists use a technique called empathic listening with their clients, which is similar to paraphrasing. However, it includes emotional content that may or may not have been verbalized, however, is clearly expressed by the speaker. As yoga teachers are not therapists, and as this technique would likely lead the yoga teacher outside of their scope of practice, I don't recommend this empathic listening technique for yoga teachers. However, listening and connecting with empathy is a wonderful skill. Listening with empathy includes the simple ways to listen and paraphrasing that we touched on earlier, but may also include a simple statement to let your student know that you've heard and understood their experience. It's less about the words you use and more about your presence and your willingness to sit in the discomfort with your student. My favorite way to communicate empathy is to put my hand on my heart and take a breath and say, "Wow, that sounds really tough." In a video I'm about to show you, Brené Brown highlights that you don't have to get the words right. She suggests saying, "I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me," as it's the connection, not the words themselves, that help. Let's take a look at this video from the RSA.
So what is empathy, and why is it very different than sympathy? Empathy fuels connection. Sympathy drives disconnection. Empathy, it's very interesting. Teresa Wiseman is a nursing scholar who studied professions, very diverse professions, where empathy is relevant, and came up with four qualities of empathy. Perspective taking, the ability to take the perspective of another person or recognize their perspective as their truth. Staying out of judgment, not easy when you enjoy it as much as most of us do. Recognizing emotion in other people and then communicating that. Empathy is feeling with people. And to me, I always think of empathy as this kind of sacred space when someone's kind of in a deep hole and they shout out from the bottom and they say, "I'm stuck, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed." And then we look and we say, "Hey, climb down. I know what it's like down here, and you're not alone." Sympathy is, "Ooh, it's bad, uh-huh. No, you want a sandwich?" Empathy is a choice, and it's a vulnerable choice, because in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something in myself that knows that feeling. Rarely, if ever, does an empathic response begin with "at least." And we do it all the time. Because you know what? Someone just shared something with us that's incredibly painful, and we're trying to silver lining it. I don't think that's a verb, but I'm using it as one. We're trying to put the silver lining around it. So, "I had a miscarriage." "Oh, at least you know you can get pregnant." "I think my marriage is falling apart." "At least you have a marriage." "John's getting kicked out of school." "At least Sarah is an A student." But one of the things we do sometimes in the face of very difficult conversations is we try to make things better. If I share something with you that's very difficult, I'd rather you say, "I don't even know what to say right now. I'm just so glad you told me." Because the truth is, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection.
Oh, I love Brené Brown's work. Okay, let's turn now finally to unconditional positive regard. This is a term coined by the psychologist Carl Rogers, who I've quoted a few times already in this lecture. In my mind, this quote by Carl Rogers exemplifies unconditional positive regard. He says, "People are just as wonderful as sunsets if you let them be. When I look at a sunset, I don't find myself saying, 'Soften the orange a bit on the right-hand corner.' I don't try to control a sunset. I watch in awe as it unfolds." Can we watch our students in awe as they unfold? Can we watch ourselves in awe as we unfold? Unconditional positive regard refers to an attitude of respect that we hold towards our students, and a belief that no matter how dysfunctional someone is, or even if we don't agree or approve of their actions, we trust that they are doing the best they can and we respect their choices. Having unconditional positive regard for our students is such a gift, and for many people, it might be the first time that they've experienced it. Unconditional positive regard is not about always smiling and agreeing with our students, but rather a stance of respect that will flow naturally out into our words and actions. It's beautiful, right? Okay, so that's it for the listening skills lecture. We've covered effective listening, simple ways to listen, paraphrasing, empathy, and unconditional positive regard. Listening well is a wonderful skill for a yoga teacher, but it's also a wonderful skill for a human being. I wholeheartedly encourage you to try some of these ideas out on your friends and your family. I'll see you in the next video.